About four times in the life of Jesus, he says, I want to tell you the truth. Four times he says, I tell you the truth. I think it's remarkable, and the four things are not in and of themselves interrelated, but we'll try to tie them together in this lesson this day, where the Lord, four times he does it, and Paul does it once, and he says, I want to tell you the truth. And that phrase in and of itself has worth. And so we talk about, let him tell you the truth. But before getting to those four times, or five times it is, I think it is, then let's talk about the importance of truth. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that there is such a thing as truth. Because truth is absolute, it is universal, and it is eternal. It's not our purpose in this lesson. It's not our purpose in this lesson to be looking at those things that emphasizes where we prove all of this. But you do understand that, do you not? That truth is absolute. That there's no such thing as, well, this is truth for me, but it may not be truth for you. Truth does not originate with me, nor does it originate with you. Truth originates in the mind of God. And you and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that truth does come from the mind of God. And therefore it is absolute. It is also universal. There's not a truth for those on the Asian continent, another one for those in North America, and another one for those who are of Islamic persuasion, or those who are Buddhist, or those who are Christian. Truth, by its very nature, is universal. And then, to emphasize that, we need to be reminded that truth is eternal. Sometimes people ask the question, how do you know that parts of the Bible have not been lost? You know, it's been translated all of these times. How do you know that parts of the Bible have not been lost? I'll tell you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that a man named Jesus lived on this earth, then you need to understand that he, the Son of God, says that my words shall not pass away. How do you know that parts of the Bible have not been lost? He said, because I'm the Son of God and I did not lie whenever I said, my word shall not pass away. And to emphasize the universal nature of it, recognize that almost every time the word truth is found in the Bible, it's singular in nature. Secondly, let's be reminded that we can understand the truth. Truth can be known. Sometimes people have the idea, well, there may be truth, but there's absolutely no way that I could ever, ever know the truth. Well, look at that verse that was read a moment ago. John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth. Jesus says that it is possible for truth to be known. It's not only that it has been revealed that God has given it to us, but Jesus says, it's possible for you to know the truth. In fact, if you'll read 1 John, you'll read not only can you know the truth, John emphasizes the fact that you can know the truth. And that's even an assurance in and of itself. It's not just that truth can be known, it's that one of the truths is that I can know the truth. And that's remarkable in and of itself. But we also need to recognize, as we think about the matter of truth, that truth brings freedom. Look again at John chapter 8 and verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, it's not just that God has given us truth. He's given us the Bible. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. It's not that just he has given us his word, but the reality is the knowledge of that truth is that very thing that brings about our salvation. You want to be saved today? Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to live close to God? Do you want to be free from the burdens of sin and from all that sin that brings into the lives of those who are enslaved by it? Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, truth is important. And you can know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We've hastened through these first three points to emphasize the fourth one in more detail. And that is the fact that we must love truth. What's worship all about? What is preaching all about? What is happening in this service right this very minute? It is an attempt to look inside the Word of God and said, this is what God says. And we got to live by what God says. But there's a responsibility that every one of us has. And that is to love truth. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12, where Paul talks about the one who would come with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look how verse 10 emphasizes the fact that it's not just an intellectual thing where I find truth, I love truth. But he talks about the fact that there is deception that goes on in them that perish because they do not love the truth. Now watch the next verse. Verse 11 says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see what this verse says? This verse says that it's possible for a man to be deceived. That it's possible for a man to be blinded so that he would not be able to find God. But it says far more than that. Look in verse 11. For this cause God will send them a strong delusion. Surely God, who wants all men to be saved, surely God would not send a strong delusion to somebody. And yet that very verse says that God will send a man a strong delusion so that he will believe that he's right. But it's just not a superficial believing that he's right. He strongly believes that he's right when he's wrong. And where did it come from? The Bible says God sends that individual a strong delusion, verse 12, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look at the reference to the word truth in verse 10, where it says, love the truth. Look at the reference to truth in verse 12, when it says, believe the truth. Here I sit and I study my Bible. Here I sit and I read some booklet about the Bible. Here I sit in an auditorium like this and study the Bible. Study the Bible in one of the Bible classes. And truth is presented. And the Bible says, when that happens, I've got to believe the truth. That's what God says, and I believe that with all of my heart. But it's more than that. I love truth. It's all that matters. And if I do not love truth, God says that I will be damned eternally. Because God will allow me, God will send to me a delusion that I'm saved when I'm not saved. You've met people like that, have you not? You've met individuals who are in some religions that are really off the wall. Take, for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who do not believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. They believe Jesus is an angel that God created. They don't believe that when John 1:1 says he was not only with God, he was God. They do not believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Have you ever had a study with a Jehovah's Witness? Have you ever seen how convinced they are in that which is right? Have you ever seen how convicted they are? They'll go out and they'll knock on doors, you know, hours and hours every month and have doors slammed in their face, believing that they're right. Do they love their doctrine more than you love truth? I want to ask you something. They believe with all of their heart that they're doing God's will. Do you believe with all of your heart that you have the truth? Then somebody's deluded. Truth is absolute. Jesus is either a created being named, and created archangel named Michael, or he is the Son of God. He is God. Both of those ideas cannot be right. One or the other individuals who hold firmly to one or the other of those ideas, one or the other of those individuals is strongly deluded. God has allowed them to be strongly deluded. God has sent a strong delusion. I want to ask you, how do you know that you're not the one deluded? And the answer is found in verse 10. And in verse 12 that says, I have got to love truth. I've got to believe truth. I've got to be willing to come to this book and follow this book wherever God shows that path that leads to heaven. I find it ironic, by the way, that in that religion, individuals who are Jehovah's Witnesses are not allowed to read any booklet you give to them. People in the Jehovah's Witness religion are not allowed to come to this very service. Forbidden by the founders of that religion. And I've said to them, how on earth would it be possible for you to ever find the truth if you don't have truth? How on earth would God ever be able to show you the truth when the religion which you're in says, look for it in the Jehovah's Witness organization, but don't you dare look for it anywhere else? Folks, that's so different from what we're trying to say here and be in this place when we say, here's the Word of God. Let's study the Word of God. Let's believe the Word of God. Let's love the Word of God. Let's get inside and look at every verse in the Bible and everything about this. And let's let the Bible answer the question as to whether or not Jesus, the Word who was there in the beginning with God, was also God. And that it was God, Emmanuel, who dwelt among us. God in the flesh, not an angel. And this is not to try to say, oh, aren't we better than they? It is just simply to illustrate how blind someone can be. And you can take that and apply it to every aspect of life. The Lord's Supper. Does the Lord have a time and a place for the Lord's Supper? Do I love what the Lord says about the Lord's Supper and about the time and the place we ought to have the Lord's Supper? Do I love truth enough to follow it and do whatever it says? Do I love truth enough to do what the Lord says about the matter of baptism? Do I love truth enough to be able to say I believe it, and whatever the Bible says about baptism, that's exactly what I'm going to do? If I don't love truth, God Himself will let me believe a lie and be damned because I wouldn't listen to Him. And I beg of you, my brother and sister in Christ, love truth, believe truth, embrace truth, and follow truth. Now let's just briefly, in the latter part of this lesson, look at four times where Jesus said it, once where Paul said it. I tell you the truth. One truth that is important for us to remember is that God cares for widows. There are 40 plus widowers in this congregation. I want you to hear how God cares for widows. Luke chapter 4, verse 25. I tell you the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and the heavens were shut up three years and 6 months when great famine was throughout the land. But the next verse says, but there's a widow in Zarephath that God sent Elijah up there so she would not starve to death. Widows are mentioned 81 times in the Bible. And almost without exception, in every 81 times widows are mentioned in the Bible, there's reference to the fact God will take care of you. All of you women who have husbands may someday be without husbands. I want you to remember that woman, that Gentile woman, hundreds of miles away from where Elijah was, and she's up there, and she's down to the last bit of meal that she has, flour, to make one final meal. And she's out looking for two sticks. That's not a lot of wood, so there's not a lot of food to eat the Last Supper. And God took care of her. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. And we need to know that. In the second place, we need to understand the truth that God has already set up His kingdom. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 27. I tell you of a truth, that there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. You need to understand that we're the most blessed people on this earth, for God worked 4,000 years to put His kingdom on this earth, and that kingdom is already here. And Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, in the first century, that first century Christians will live to see the kingdom of God. You know what that kingdom is? It's where God lives. It's where God works. It's where God walks. It's where God rules. And you and I ought to think that someday there will be a millennium whenever the kingdom will be established. When Jesus said in the first century, Don't you miss out on it. You're the most blessed people ever there will be. Of a truth, I tell you, you will live to see the kingdom of God. And that's why in the meditation about the Lord's Supper, the verses were read where the Lord said, I will drink this cup with you in the kingdom. We know what the kingdom is. May we treasure the kingdom. Because the Lord told the truth when he said, it's going to be established in the first century. Interestingly enough, Jesus in John chapter 8 talks about the fact that truth makes believers and unbelievers. In verse 30 through 32, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 31 says, as he spake these things, many believed on him. But while he is speaking and making individuals believe on him, look at verse 45, where Jesus said, I tell you the truth, and you do not believe it. You see, you and I need to recognize that an individual can be indifferent toward truth until confronted by truth. It's very easy for an individual to talk about how they love the Lord and how they would do anything for the Lord until they come face to face with some commandment of God, and then and there they have to decide, am I a believer in God or am I a disbeliever in God? If you'd ask Abraham, Abraham, how much do you love the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord. And when the Lord said, okay, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. When mortals meet the commandment of God, they either believe that is from God, they believe that this is truth, eternal truth, universal truth, absolute truth, and they love it, they believe it, and they embrace it, or they turn their back away. Because when confronted with truth, you cannot remain indifferent. Before the Lord ever said, thou shalt not make any graven image, men might have thought it's all right. But when the voice of God spoke from that mountaintop saying, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, those at the foot of that mountain knew what truth was. And when the golden calf was there in their presence, everybody in that area had to decide, what am I going to do about the graven image that God's spoken about? Do I believe it, or am I an infidel, an unbeliever in relationship to that commandment of God? And see, the reality is, we're not dealing with graven images. We're dealing with the commandments of God that talks about the moral precepts in our lives. If God had said nothing about sexual purity, if God had said nothing about the sanctity of marriage, then we could sort of just drift along. But when we come face to face with truth, we cannot remain indifferent toward it. And if there are things that are amiss in your life, I beg of you with all of my heart, believe truth and embrace it. If there are commandments that are in the Bible that you know you're not obeying, believe truth. Love truth. Embrace truth. For when I come face to face with the commandment of God, if I do not believe truth and love truth and embrace truth, then God will send me a strong delusion and I'll walk away believing a lie, and believing that lie will lead to the damnation of my souls. Truth is important. whether it's about morality and the sanctity of marriage, or whether it's about honesty, or whether it is about how to treat those who are mistreating us, whatever it is, when we come face to face with the commandment of God, we either embrace it as a believer or as an unbeliever, we walk away from it. You cannot be indifferent when confronted with truth. But let me tell you, if there are things in your life that you know that God wants you to do and you're not doing them, the Lord will convince you that it's all right for you to not do that. Did you hear that? If there are things in your life that you know God wants you to do and you do not love truth enough to do it, then God will strongly delude you and you will walk away believing it's all right for you to live that way. That's the truth. And finally, we need to understand that God's truth separates friends, which is really a part of what we're just talking about. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, I've told you the truth. Have I become your enemy? Paul was willing to become the enemy of those whom he loved before he'd give up truth. And now let's look at the last time. God knows what we need. John 16, Jesus was leaving the earth. And before he left those apostles, he said, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. God knows what we need. And that's the truth. God knows what we need. And so the life of these individuals were about to be flipped upside down. Within hours of John chapter 16, Jesus was going to be in Gethsemane. Within hours of them being in Gethsemane, they were going to be so filled with fear that they all forsook him and fled. Peter's cursing and swearing and say, I don't know him. The Lord, for whom they had given up everything to follow him, was going to be put to death. And then he was going to leave this earth and leave them here all by themselves. Do you think that's what they wanted? Do you think that when they left their fish nets and followed Jesus, do you think that's what they wanted? For them to commit their lives to Him, and then all of a sudden He's going to leave this earth and we're going to be left on this earth all by ourselves. And the Lord says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. It's the best thing that could happen. For you. If you'd been those apostles, you would have said, I don't believe that. You know why? Because when adversity comes in our lives, we think it's the worst thing that's ever happened. It's not. God has a way of taking adversity that comes into our life, not brought by Him, but brought by the evil one, and make us so much stronger as Christians. God does not give us what we want, but He loves us enough to give us what we need. And we pray to God and ask for all kinds of things that if we were to receive them, they might cost us our souls. We need to be like Jesus in Gethsemane, fervently praying, God, please let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but I trust you, God. I trust you. Not what I want, but your will. And it's God's will to give us the best that we can in this life. 5 times, I tell you the truth. Now, the reality is, all of the Bible is simply the telling to us by God of His truth. God help us to embrace these things. There's truth about salvation. We close this service this morning by talking about the truth about salvation. It's absolutely true that one must believe in Jesus in order to be saved. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in Him should not perish. But we need to repent of our sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. If you haven't done that, you're face to face with the commandment of God. You're going to believe that or not? It's the will of God that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord, that He's the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and it is the will of God that we be baptized. Have you done that? It is the commandment of God. Acts 22:16 says, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Do you love it? Do you believe it? And will you embrace it? Because if you'll do these things, the Lord will add you to the church. And then He says to you as a child of God, now you just be full of faith until you die. And I'll give you the crown of life. Whatever your need, however we can help you in your walk with the Lord, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?